Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. Today, we have a very special episode, especially for all of you working moms out there. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Nikki Daniels. Nikki is a wife and mom to three elementary age school kids and the assistant headmaster for advancement at Monte Vista Christian School in California. Nikki and I actually know each other. She and I attended the same church in the Chicagoland area up until her recent move out to California for this position. She's incredibly wise, and she wrote an article on this topic a few years ago that was posted on the Gospel Coalition, which we'll link to in the show notes. And we knew she'd be a great fit for this topic. So no matter where you are on the spectrum of working mom, part-time mom, or even as a stay-at-home mom, I promise there are wonderful nuggets of truth in here for all moms. So with that, I'll let you get to the interview with Nikki, Emily, and me. Well, hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for being on Risen Motherhood today.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes, we are thrilled to have you on the show. Can you kick us off by telling us a little bit about yourself, your family makeup, and of course, tell us a little bit about your job?
Absolutely. I am the proud mother of three little ones. I have Linnea, age 9, Thomas, age 7, and Naomi, age 5. My husband and I and our whole family just recently relocated to the Watsonville, California area, central coast of California. And I am working currently as the assistant headmaster at Monte Vista Christian School, which is a 1,000-student, 6 through 12 school here in the beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains. So we are enjoying all of 3 months of our California adventure so far. And everybody tells us we're going to love the winter.
And Nikki, just to kind of give our listeners some background as well, you were talking with us pre-recording that you live on campus with why don't I let you explain exactly how all of that works, but kind of give us...
It's a very unique situation. Monte Vista is a residential campus for about 100 of our high schoolers, most of whom come from China, Taiwan, and Korea. And also part of our 100-acre campus is then housing that we provide for many of our faculty staff. Many people are familiar with the cost of living in the Bay Area, and this is something that we do in order to be able to recruit the best faculty and staff. So my family and I, when we moved here, moved into on-campus housing. And so that has been a unique and fun, really great experience. So my role as assistant headmaster, my focus is really advancement, fundraising, alumni relations. But I have a number of other roles as well that deal with kind of the operations and the business side of the school. And I was sharing that there's all kinds of unique situations I find myself in where living on campus and being in this role create all kinds of unique opportunities to administrate and lead while wearing one's pajamas. So it's just a fun adventure, and I'm looking forward to figuring it out more and more as the months go by.
Wonderful. Well, okay, we're going to dive in pretty deep, pretty fast. Our first question to kind of kick it off is just speaking to comparison. We know that that is a real struggle for all moms, not just working moms, not just stay-at-home moms. So we're curious if you can just speak to that point about what does comparison look like as a working mom, but also how do you stay focused on obedience to Christ in each moment when you're kind of tempted to look at others around you?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Comparison is, it's a human problem. It's definitely a female problem. We are so relational by nature. And sometimes, you know, there's just the good and the bad that comes with that. And part of that, I think, is just that tendency towards comparison. And I think one of the things that I work really hard on in this area is really to be disciplined with understanding kind of my own personal triggers. I'm sure it looks different for every woman and every mom depending on their situation. But I know for myself personally, I have to be really careful with my use of social media, and not so much in my own posting as in how much I allow myself time-wise and just kind of my thought patterns into kind of viewing other people's best sides of their lives and things like that. I have to be really careful about the kinds of parenting books or blogs that I read. Again, just really making sure that my filter is strong for gospel-centered things and not letting myself get distracted by other things that can lead to down that comparison road. You know, I think one of the things for me early on in being a mom was just accepting that my experience is unique, that each of our experiences are unique. And I think that one thing that helped me was the fact that each of my three children individually were intensely colicky babies. And so as I learned how to parent each one of them in their infant years, when it was really infant months, when it was like years. Really just all about getting them to stop screaming, I remember bouncing on an exercise ball in a dark room with my middle child and just thinking about all those books that I had read, and this wasn't in any of the books. And so how could it possibly be the right thing to be doing, because it wasn't, you know, what everybody else was doing or what I thought I was being told to do. So I think learning that my uniquely colicky baby happened to like extended periods of time in a dark room bouncing on an exercise ball, and that was the way I could be the best mom I could be. Just kind of accepting that uniqueness, and then just really focusing on obedience to Christ. I mean, this is what he's called me to be, mom to this colicky baby, and therefore I am bouncing on this ball.
Yes, I love that we all struggle with comparison. And I think sometimes, like you said, even we see things on social media and blogs, like they could be good things to do. And it's, you can start to imagine all the ways like, oh, should I be doing that good thing instead of the bouncing on the exercise ball thing or whatever it is. And I agree with you. There's like that layer of protection that's needed, not because we're taking in these really bad things, but just because it gets us distracted from Christ himself and from the things that he's given us instruction to do in his word. And then also looking into that moment and going, okay, God, what would you have me do for this child now? And how am I best going to serve my family? Because you're like thinking of that person you saw that, you know, was doing this cool homeschool thing at the table. And you're like, oh, that was so awesome. And might have been great, but distracting potentially from what it is you have right in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that another common struggle that moms or women all face is beyond comparison is really putting our identity in our motherhood or, you know, Nikki, for you, maybe putting your identity in the work that you do each day. And so I'm curious how you try to keep your identity rooted in Christ rather than your success in your career in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is one area that I think kind of the bifurcation of my life, kind of the flip sides of this coin has actually been a real help, because in any given day, I'm interacting with two sets of people. And of the two sides of me, that set of people only care about one. So, you know, when I'm with my kids, they could care less what I accomplished at work that day. If I accomplished anything, or if I messed something up royally at work, it doesn't faze them in the least. And on the flip side, here in my professional environment with my colleagues, they have no clue about my parent, well, except for the funny stories that I tell them. But for the most part, you know, what kind of parent I am or was the night before, it's completely separate. And so in that sense, I kind of feel like I often use the analogy of being a two-sport athlete. So I suppose you could say, oh, well, then you're in better shape and da-da-da-da-da. And you can, that's true, definitely. But it also means at any given moment, I'm focusing on one and not the other. And so kind of just that reality. That's just, you know, being focused, if that's what it's going to take. And being able to do both at the same time, I am I'm a firm disbeliever in the concept of multitasking. Mm. At least for me personally, it doesn't work. My mind has to be on one or the other. So, and then I would also say, you know, just thinking about where we put our identity, really just that constant daily reminder that Christ is really the only thing that applies across the board in any of our lives. So his view, he equally values me as a mom and me as a professional. He's the only one. And so the good news of the gospel is that, you know, he's called me to do these things. He's the only one that cares about those things, but actually he doesn't really care about those things. He cares about me. And so again, mm-hmm. going back to my kids don't care if I screwed up at work, you know, Christ, it's, you know, my success or failure in either of those areas, it's really not an issue because I'm his daughter and I'm free from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. And we all need that reminder that in Christ, we are free from the law and we're free from having to define ourselves in any sphere of life by our perceived successes or failures and riding that roller coaster of, mm-hmm. oh, I did well, so I feel good. Oh, I wasn't doing that well, so now I'm going to be really down in the dumps. It's like, you know what? Like, Christ has bought us for a price and he's redeemed us. And like you said, it's just like a thing that is true for any role that we inhabit. Yes. We're still just in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. It's freeing is the word that comes to mind so often.
Yeah. When you live with your identity rooted in motherhood or your performance at work and what that person thinks of you or whatever, that is a very heavy calling, you know? And I think Emily and I have had a lot of offline conversations lately just about being really grateful that our standing before the throne does not depend on us performing like puppets to some sort of standard that we've set for ourselves, but that we can just come freely to the throne and say, hey, I've messed up. I didn't do this perfectly, but there is grace that meets me there. And that is just something that I can be brought to tears by, of being grateful for that the future or the present doesn't rely on my success or abilities as a mom, because I will always fail.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
So speaking of all the things we need to do, as a working mom, like your time is just probably really, really divided. And it sounds like, again, for you, your lines are blurred between even your two lines. So how do you make wise choices with how your time is spent? Or another way to phrase it maybe is, how does the gospel guide your to-do list?
Yeah. I think one of the big pieces of that process for me is the acceptance of so many good things that I cannot do. So whether that's ministry opportunities or even relational opportunities or even recreational opportunities, and I don't say that in a martyr way, but just really kind of coming to terms with, you know, prioritization and what I'm called to do, which is care for my family. And I put my work in that category as well, because my work is what provides materially for my family. So that ultimate calling is what my priority is. And beyond that, really everything else has to be on the chopping block. You know, I think in the early years of motherhood in particular, I learned the hard way that just because a task or a specific role you know, is something that is quote unquote good, or, you know, it could be a morally good thing. It doesn't mean that it is good for me to take it on or to add it to my plate. So, you know, I'm sure it will change as my children age, but for right now, the stage that we're in, the most crucial thing they need from me is time. So that, is just a precious resource that I have to guard jealously for my family. So, you know, that impacts the decisions I make for my schedule, certainly, but it also impacts, you know, the decisions we make for them. So, you know, we're not a family that does a lot of after school activities. We're not running around from practice to lesson to whatever. And that's those are all really good things. And in my weaker moments, I have anxiety because my children aren't going to know how to play the flute or, you know, whatever the case may be. But again, For right now, where we're at, that time together is mm-hmm. what is so much more important. And so just, you know, trying to weigh those and, you know, keep the priorities set, even when sometimes it just, I mean, there are times when, how could it possibly not be the right thing for me to be a room mother, or, you know, things like that. And you know, just accepting that in my case, in my situation, oftentimes it's not.
Mm. But I love what I hear you saying is like, okay, I understand my calling. And so our family is going to evaluate our circumstances and say, how can we live that out? And that's going to require us, as it does every family, to make a countercultural decision in order to be able to have that time to invest well in our children. And I feel like every mom understands that mm-hmm. there are sacrifices we make that the world would say, you need to have this for your kids. And we're like, we either don't have time for that, or we can't do that because of this or that reason. And mm-hmm. and I just love that you guys have looked at that and are saying, we're going to protect our time this way. And it is going to be costly, but that's okay, because this is about what God is asking us to do, mm-hmm. not about what the world says is normative or important.
Yeah. And it goes back to that idea of the uniqueness of each of our callings. So I firmly believe that God is calling the family next door to, you know, go to soccer 3 times a week. But I also mm-hmm. understand and can reconcile the fact that that's not what he's calling our family to do. And the idea of letting those two coexist and accepting that is a key piece of all this, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the stewardship of time is a real difficult thing for any mom or parent when there are so many things calling at us. It's how do we steward our time well and not just doing good things or better things, but how do we do that best thing? And that's what my husband and I always talk about, is what is the best thing that our family can engage in. So speaking of some of those things that you can engage in, Nikki, how do you make time for ministry with such a busy life and a lot of things calling for your attention? What is the importance of being involved in your local church, and how do you carve out time for that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is probably the piece that is the most complex, you know, because you can say, well, I'm going to forego those recreational opportunities, or I'm going to forego those relational opportunities. But ministry, in my mind, it's not a choice of whether or not. I mean, that is a universal calling for all of us. So then in my situation, it becomes, what does that look like for me? And, you know, a reality for me over these last 9 years since I became a mom is that I've had to learn that what I do ministry-wise is not always necessarily the thing that I am most drawn to, or the thing that I really want to do, actually. I end up, my call becomes the thing that fits and works well within the context of my other calling. So, and in the end, of course, as always works because of God's providence, because that is where he called me, though he called me through a different way, then it does become the best scenario, and he works in and through it. So I suppose I was thinking about an example might be women's ministry. I love women's ministry. And when I was younger and before, and, you know, had more time, was just so impacted by various women's Bible studies and things in different churches that I've been in. And that would probably be a natural inclination for me to be a part of that. But the reality is, for the way that works logistically, it doesn't work for me. And so what I've ended up looking at has been more things like teaching and things that that happen on a Sunday. And again, because I can maybe teach my own children's class, or at the very least, they're in a class while I'm doing my ministry, and, you know, not taking away from time that the five of us would have been together, things like that. I think, you know, some other things that I've done over the years are, we had a capital campaign kind of exploration committee, which honestly, even though that's what I do for a living, so you think, oh, of course you want to do that. But I think, oh, well, I'd rather do something different. But at the end of the day, that was a group that met at 6 a.m. at Panera every other week. And that worked for me. And that was a way that I could plug in a way that I could minister within my church. And it ended up being an incredibly rewarding experience for me. And I developed relationships that I never anticipated, and so on and so forth. So all those different ways that I think ministry for me as a mom has just needed to be reframed into what is possible within the context of these other things. And then God blesses it and it flourishes mm-hmm. from there, even if I can't see it when I first sign up for it.
mm-hmm, yeah. God is so good in the way that he kind of brings about ministry opportunities and then flips things on their heads that we don't see necessarily in that light. And I just, he does. He makes it all work when we're trusting him. And I love how you brought that piece of providence in. It's like, it's so true. He does it again and again and again, just to provide the way that all of these things fit together.
So we'd love to just hear from you, from your position. What do you think is one of the most difficult things that a working mom faces? And how would you respond to that with the gospel in mind?
Yeah, the thing that comes to my mind when I think about a challenge of working motherhood is really my own fear, and particularly a fear of judgment. So I think within our Christian community, the high value that we place on parenting and motherhood, that's something that unites us, and that is a shared part of our faith community. That's a beautiful thing, but there's a difficulty that comes with that on the flip side of it, because when it looks different for different people, I have found that there's a sense of, mutual insecurity, maybe would be how I would define it. And so in relating with each other as Christian moms, when we're doing it so differently, there we all have to fight against this fear that, well, if she's doing it that way and I'm doing it a different way, she must think her way is the right way. Therefore, she must think my way is the wrong way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a very oversimplified way of thinking about it. And I don't know that anyone really thinks it that specifically, but I have found over the years, and again, it's either me perceiving it or me inventing it in my head, which I firmly believe happens mm-hmm. quite a bit. But it's just that idea of how do we get to a place as stay-at-home moms and working moms and just moms in general, that we can go back to the idea of the gospel freeing us, and your mothering, my mothering, it doesn't impact our status as daughters of Christ. And so we can still come together and we can mother differently and still support and encourage one another. So mm-hmm. I think I have been blessed with many relationships where that does take place. Just really some formative friendships, and one in particular during my mothering years that has just really helped me to understand that and just to rise above that fear and to fight against it. But ultimately, what really counteracts it, I believe, is again, just going back to the gospel and our understanding of who we are and of how we're viewed by Christ.
Mm. I love how you articulated that mutual insecurity.
Yes. Brilliant.
Because I think what you explained is exactly, like you said, even if it's at a subconscious level, it is what we do when we meet a mom who mothers differently than we do. And we don't have to be afraid of missing out because of what Christ has done with us for us. And we don't have to be afraid of man's judgment because of what Christ has done for us. But we have to stop and like intentionally remember that in those moments that we can, like you said, be different, but all still be in Christ. And another thing I always have to remember too is like in our culture, we very much have this dialogue of like, working mom, stay-at-home mom, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like around the world throughout history in different cultures and different socioeconomic, you know, areas, like these types of conversations, you know, aren't even, these types of insecurities aren't necessarily even happening because it's like, feed your family, you know, do your work and take care of those around you. And it's maybe a little bit more urgent than that. So I always have to get that perspective too, that God's truth is universal in Christ. You know, the gospel applies to us universally for those who trust in him. And there isn't some specific thing for our culture that is different than it is for moms through all of time.
Yeah, absolutely. It is there are distinctions that we have generated culturally over time that I do think we have to strive against.
Well, and at the beginning when you were speaking about just the high calling that Christianity or Christian circles have put on motherhood, one of those things though that we do all have a biblical calling too is to pass on the gospel to our children. No matter, you know, working mom, stay-at-home mom, part-time mom, any of those types that we were talking about, all these different camps, we all have one united goal. And so how do you balance this, I guess, is what we want to ask. You know, how does that come in? What does it look like for you, especially for the mom who's working and wondering, how on earth do I juggle both of these roles and really invest with intentionality in my kids? So what are some choices you've had to make and how does that play out in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. My biggest encouragement to a mom scratching her head and wondering about that is if God has blessed her with a spouse who also is committed to the gospel, is lean on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I think about gospel-centered parenting and how I do or do not do that on any given day, the level to which I rely on my husband is just cannot be overstated. And it's really, it's more than logistical. I mean, I had mentioned that for years, I have kind of worked days and he's worked nights and weekends in a mental health counseling practice. And so obviously we had the integration going there. We used to joke about like, we were a tag team and like, I'd come home and we'd kind of slap hands and he would walk out the door and it was like my shift was on. And that had its own challenges to be sure. But that idea of the two of us really sharing everything about our parenting role. And so that there was never anything that I did as a parent that he didn't do or vice versa. You know, we were just kind of completely interwoven in that way. And I have found that so critical when it comes to how we are portraying the gospel to our children, because so much of that just happens in life and in the daily tasks of doing life. And when you're a working mom and you are absent from chunks of that more than you would want to be, to have a spouse who is doing the striving for the same things that you're striving for as far as how the gospel interrelates with what we're doing in our home and how our families interrelating, that gives you a multiplying factor and just a peace of mind to know that it's almost like you've just got this teammate who is just going for the same thing you're going for. And even if you can't be there scoring points for the team, he is. And, you know, just knowing that and having each other's back in that way, has been huge for me because, it is such a challenge in and of itself and, to be away and still be figuring out how to weave it into my kid's life, that it's hard.
But yes, so true. Like we talked a lot to moms, but, assuredly, God says a lot to parents in general, and especially fathers in terms of passing along wisdom and instruction to their children. And so certainly being a team in that is critical, no matter what your work situation looks mm-hmm. like.
Yep. Yeah.
It's amazing when both parents are all hands on deck because everybody drops the ball and everybody has off days. I was telling that to my husband the other day. I'm like, one of the things I love about you is that when I'm having a hard day and I'm just like done being patient. I'm done, you know, like saying the right godly thing. Like a lot of times I'll see him swoop in and like put a smile on his face and grab a book. And it's like, wow, I'm so glad there's a partner in this because I do.
Yeah. Well, and I've really seen it ebb or it's evolved over the years, you know, because the toddler years, a lot of it was just, oh my goodness, help me keep control of myself kind of thing. And that still happens too. Don't get me wrong. But now that we're starting to get into the more complexities of just emotional thing, you know, with my 9-year-old daughter. And I mean, there are times we're in discipline situations and I honestly don't know what to do. And I almost have to like call like a timeout, like, okay, just freeze because your father and I have to go talk because I don't know what to say to you right now. And it's kind of funny because I can see how she starts to sense that rhythm. And I think she can tell when I'm in uncharted waters and I need dad and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't really mind that because I also want her to see that modeled in the way that, that we are interconnected and, and need each other because, boy, it's, I get stumped on a regular basis to figure out how I should respond.
I think
to
we all do. Oh, well, Nikki, as we wrap up here, what is one thing that you have really learned about who God is and what his plan is for you in motherhood? So just as you've grown in your role, how has your understanding of the gospel changed?
You know, I think motherhood, and I think probably most all of us moms would say, agree with this to some degree or another, that it has been the most transformative piece of my life thus far, apart from becoming a believer in God and being his daughter. The process of becoming a mother has broadened my vision and my understanding of life. I have a sense of the complexities of life. You know, I feel like motherhood, since becoming a mother, there's not much left in life that I see as black and white and simple. You know, just really that understanding of just life's complexities is one thing that I think my children have really taught me. And then the other thing I would say they have really taught me, they have stripped away any semblance of hope that I am in any way, shape, or form in control of my life. And I say they, like it's my three little children, but obviously it's not. And it's what Christ is doing in me through the experience of being their mother. But, you know, I think I'm a personality as far as type A go-getter where I could be tempted to lean on the crutch of, you know, different ways that I'm holding it together. And so they kind of kick the crutches out from underneath me and I am not, I'm holding on by a string most days, but I consider that such a blessing because it's left room for the gospel and it has just allowed me to just keep daily coming back to that understanding of who I am and who Christ is and how my smallness is just a pointer to his greatness. So, so yeah, in a lot of ways, I guess I would say motherhood has shrunk me, but it has expanded and deepened me in all the better ways.
That's beautiful.
So good.
It reminds me of this quote that we have, or I had on my wall for a little bit that just said, "Oh, my precious friend, it is a mercy to be made and kept poor enough for Jesus to be all." And that has just rung very true in motherhood that our weaknesses or staying low, I like how you use the word shrunk, those drive us to the cross. You know, the more that we see that we are insufficient, that we cannot do it all, that we can't keep up with all the people around us because they're not keeping up either. But the more that we recognize that, I think the closer that we can come to Christ and recognize that he fills all those empty places and that when we are low, that is when he is our all. And that is certainly a truth that rings universal in motherhood.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, thank you so much today for being on the show, Nikki. We really appreciated your time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a joy.